prayer together. Father God, we pray that you will open our minds to understand the scriptures in a life-changing way. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were God, even for just a very short time, what would you want to do? That's a question that a radio presenter used to ask his guests. And if you were God for a week, a month, maybe a year, how would you deal with all the wrong and evil in our world? How, for example, would you deal with nations at war with one another, with all the inequalities in the way that the resources of the world are used, with all the selfish and dishonest acts that take place every day? Some people would say, I'll put a stop to all those things, and they think God should do the same. And God should act decisively to stop every kind of wrongdoing. But it's not too easy to see how he might do this. Suppose I'm having an argument with somebody else, I'm losing my temper, I'm raising my arm to strike them as hard as I can. Should God somehow stop in and freeze my arm at that moment before I strike the blow? And if God does that sort of thing, where is he to stop? If I'm about to tell a lie or say something hurtful to somebody else, is God to strike me dumb at that moment? And what about those situations where I ignore the opportunity to do good and I'm walking away? Is God going to somehow compel me to turn around and respond to that situation of need? And if God is required to act in all those kind of ways, does it not mean that we human beings will simply be puppets who've lost our freedom of choice? So there are lots of problems if we say that God should simply put a stop to all kinds of evil. Now I start like this because in our gospel reading for today, we are reminded by Jesus of how it is that God has chosen to deal with all the wrongdoing in the world. And you might like to open your pew Bible again or for the first time on page 1062 and look in the right-hand column at the top. Jesus opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." That is a summary of how God has chosen to deal with all the sin and evil in the world. And the way he's doing this, the way he's done this, is by taking human flesh, by suffering, by dying, by rising from the dead. And after these things have happened, then the message of Jesus is to be spread to every nation on earth. Let's unpack this for a few moments and think some more about the sufferings and death of Jesus on the cross. The sufferings and death of Jesus, which is God's way of taking on all the evil in the world. Many things to say about this, but let's just have a few of them. And the first is this, that the way that God deals with the evil in the world is the way of sacrificial love. And Jesus has walked this path, made the supreme sacrifice of himself in order that the world may be changed for the better. Then secondly, the cross of Jesus shows that the way that God deals with all the wrongdoing in the world is by submitting to it, by taking all its guilt and power upon himself, and thus overcoming evil with good. And then thirdly, the death of Jesus is the means by which God has made it possible for human sins, your sins, my sins, to be forgiven. Not surprising that the great symbol of the Christian faith is the cross. It is the one event which is given more space, more chapters, more column inches than anything else in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's not surprising that the great event which Jesus commanded us to remember is his death. He's given us this service of Holy Communion for this very purpose. And we've already had the sign of the cross in this service, traced upon the forehead of Chioma. The cross is the great symbol of the Christian faith, and all this is a reminder to us that the way in which God deals with the sin of the world is by coming to die for us, dying that our sins might be forgiven, dying to show us the way of self-giving love, dying so that the power of sin might be broken and dealt a blow from which it can never recover, dying so that evil might be overcome by good. That's the number way in which God deals with all the major evils in our world. And the second way in which he does this is by and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Bridget was reminding us on Easter Sunday that the death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ belong together. They're part and parcel of one another. It is the resurrection that confirms the power of the cross, the power of his death. You see, if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, he would have gone down in history as just another self-deluded, self-appointed Messiah, promoting himself in a misguided way. Yes, it's true that he gave wonderful teaching and healed the sick and did other miracles. But if he had not been raised from the dead, all that would have disappeared into history. All his claims to be the savior of the world would have fallen to the ground, and that would have been the end of him. But it wasn't the end of him. He was raised by God, never to die again. And this unique event is one that confirms that on the cross, Jesus Christ was indeed making possible the forgiveness of our sins and defeating the power of evil in a way that it can never recover from. Let's have a few more things about the resurrection and how God takes on the evil of this world in this way. One important thing is that the resurrection makes it possible for you and for me and countless other people to begin a new life in which we turn from evil to serve the Lord, a new life that death itself will not destroy. And amazingly, wonderfully, the resurrection also makes it possible for you and me to have the daily help of Jesus Christ in overcoming evil. That is so important. You see, our message of the resurrection is that Jesus Christ is alive. We can't see him, can we? His body has been taken away from the earth. And his body, his physical body, has been replaced by his spirit, who we cannot see, but who can be with us and in us every day of our lives. And the amazing thing about the Spirit of God is that the Spirit of God is eternal for every generation, every country, every place, every Christian. Every Christian can know the help of Jesus Christ day by day in overcoming evil and in strengthening us in other ways as well. Let's go back to Luke 24. And the words of Jesus about the Messiah suffering and rising from the dead are words that come again and again in the gospel story. We've been doing Luke in Lent. We've got to the end. And if you like, this is a little bit of a summary of the whole thing. And just to remind you, in chapter 9, Jesus told his disciples that he must suffer and die and be put to death and rise again. In chapter 24, he tells the two disciples on the Emmaus Road how the scriptures foretold that these things would happen. We've got it again here. And so repeatedly we are told that God's plan to deal with the evil of the world is suffering and death, coming amongst us to die and rise again. And this is God's way. This is God's way. It is the way of sacrificial love, the way of overcoming evil by submitting to it and triumphing over it. It is the way of bringing forgiveness, bringing new life, conquering death, and making the power of Christ available to every Christian believer. It's no wonder, is it, that this message is to be spread to every nation on earth. That's what Jesus Christ says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Think about that for a moment. An obscure, almost unknown man says 2,000 years, repentance for the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection is going to be preached in my name to every nation. We are here 2,000 years later. What's been happening in the last 2,000 years? Repentance and the forgiveness of sins has been preached to every nation. And there's hardly a nation on earth. I tried to look it up on Google, couldn't quite find the answer. But the gospel has gone out worldwide, hasn't it? There are more Christians alive today than there have ever been before, even though we find that hard to believe in this country. It's been fulfilled in the most remarkable way, those words of Jesus. And as the gospel goes out, so lives are changed, so lives are turned from evil to good, and evil is overcome. Bridget encouraged me to give you an example of this. I can give you an example of this. Think of the Archbishop of Canterbury. I'm so glad he's our leader. What's he been doing? Well, one of the things that's hit the headlines is that he's been taking on these payday loan companies. Do you know what rates of interest they charge? Some of them charge 1,000% a year. I looked at, there was one or two that charge 1,200% a year. I don't hesitate to say that is outrageous. That is evil. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, as a Christian, has been leading us, his church, in opposing that. And actually, he's having some success, and there's some success about this in the Diocese of Southwark. Now, we have to admit that it's sadly true, very true, I'm afraid, that terrible things have been done in the name of Jesus Christ by people falsely claiming to be acting in his name. It's also true that no Christian believer behaves perfectly in every way. Perfection will only be ours in the life to come. But where the power of the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ are truly at work, then God's way of overcoming evil will be seen more and more. I was watching television the other evening and watching a second program about the Mafia, in which Sir Trevor MacDonald was interviewing some of its former members. I don't know whether any of you saw that. And one of the people he was interviewing was saying that when he was an active member, he used to bully, to threaten, to extort, to beat people up, and even to murder. And for that, he had rightly spent time in prison. You will know that the Mafia is one of perhaps the world's most violent and criminal society. But somewhere down the line, this member had been converted to Jesus Christ. The message of the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ had hit home to him. He had responded to him. His life was changed, and now he was working for good and not for evil. This former Christian wants to be, more than anything else, part of the solution rather than part of the problem. Just one modern illustration how the power of the cross and resurrection actually has an effect in overcoming evil in the modern world. And when that happens, such people then become the agents of further change by the way that they live and behave in daily life and spread the message. I've got two prayers in relation to this service, in relation to this talk. First is for Chioma. She's gone, has she? Yes, gone to have a rest, but we can talk about her. My prayer for Chioma this morning, and I commend this to all of you who have come here, especially for her baptism, my prayer is that at the end of her life, many people will be able to say that she made the world a better place by the way that she lived out her Christian life. In other words, she was part of God's solution rather than part of the problem. Wouldn't that be a wonderful epitaph for Chioma at the end of her life? And actually, that's a prayer that we can all pray for ourselves. It's linked with the question about how you and I can live day by day more and more in the power of the resurrection. And as we do so, we will be God's agents for change in driving back evil and bringing God's good in its place. It's after all through people like you and me that the evil forces of darkness are driven back by the power of Jesus Christ. And so, please God, each one of us will be part of this more and more in the days ahead. Amen.